Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And it's been a busy week here at Chateau de Haunt Weekly, if you will. We've been quite busy this past week, but it's been the putting away kind of busy. Where right. We're trying not to be absolute fucking dipshits like we've been every other year when we put stuff away.
Yeah, I know that last year I remember saying that we did really good with well, no, we didn't.
No, we didn't. We were actually quite terrible. Because the problem is, every time we say we did a really good job organizing, we counterbalance it with something in time we say, that sounds like a problem for future Jonathan and Crystal.
Yeah.
We seem to offset our gains every year with that. So far, we have not set anything as a problem for future Jonathan and Crystal.
No.
And in fact, you've done a very good job reorganizing our storage.
Mm-hmm.
We went out, we bought some more containers. We actually have enough bins this year.
Yeah.
This is unheard of. This is unprecedented. In the history of us being haunters, we have never had adequate watertight storage for everything.
No.
I'm just blown away by this. But yes, it is a time of putting up, of being done, of closing the book, if you will, on the season. And for us, that's a time of reflection.
Yes.
And we like to talk about the lessons we learned, because we grew up in the 80s and 90s when all of our TV shows had to have lessons at the end.
Right.
Now, usually those lessons had nothing to do with the actual goddamn TV show.
Yeah.
Go back and watch old episodes of G.I. Joe, you'll figure out what I mean instantly. But the point of the matter is, we're going to share with you today the lessons we learned from our 2018 season. We'll get into that in just 1 minute. But first thing is first, if you didn't figure it out already, this is Haunt Weekly. If you intended to listen to a different podcast, please exit the plane now. You can find us at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, Podbean, all the finer podcast places on the planet. I screwed it up, but it's okay. We got through it. All right. So first thing is first, now that we got that out of the way, conference reminders. Let's see. This is an even episode. That means I kick off. And on that note, on November 16th and through the 18th in Urbana, Illinois, it's Dark History and Horror Con at the Garden Hotel. Tickets just $25 for the weekend. Includes a film festival, dhhcon.com, for more information.
Okay, January 25th through the 27th, it's HauntCon, Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Ernest Inn Memorial Convention Center. Jonathan's going to be speaking there.
Yes, I will be speaking.
And we'll
do something.
Yes, and someone's already reached out to us. We're excited to meet them. If you are coming, please let us know at all of the places we just mentioned. And at HauntCon.com for more info on the actual conference.
All right. After that, February 23rd and 24th, it's Haunt X, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California at the Fairplex, touring Coffin Creek, both lights on and lights off, and also features a costume ball. HauntX.com for more. I wish we lived closer to California.
Yeah.
Jesus, that sounds awesome.
It does. Okay, and then February 27th through March 2nd, it is the Maze Chicago.
Actually, it's just amazing.
Worm party.
Yeah, the amazing worm party. We should have deleted the Chicago part.
Yes, you had it deleted, and now it's shown back up. It's the Phantom Chicago.
I thought that was just Japes.
Yeah.
That was the Phantom of Chicago.
Yes.
Sorry, my mistake.
Okay. So it's the Maze Corn Party. It's February 27th through March 2nd. It's in Dallas, Texas, and Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. They will be in Weston, Dallas, Fort Worth Airport Hotel, touring various mazes around Dallas and Oklahoma City, including Yesterland Farm, Maystay Farm, and more. TheMaze.com for more info.
That's THEMAIZE. The Maze, like corn maze. Get it? It's a pun.
Yes.
They're funny. All right. And coming up March 21st through the 24th, the big show everyone likes to talk about is Trans World Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center. It is now co-located with Trans World's Christmas Show. I'm not making that one up, folks.
Nope.
It will feature a party at City Museum. If you've ever been to St. Louis, you know why that sounds awesome. A performance by Vampire Circus on Friday night and a Vampire Ball on Saturday. Still looking, trying to find details on their pre-convention bus tour. Nothing on the site about that yet, but when it appears, go to the Ha Show, HAASHOW.com for more. So now we have several more months of every week going, Ha Show.
Yeah.
Every time we do one of these podcasts. And yeah, maybe this is why our listenership dips in the preload of trans world.
Well, I think some people have figured out how to skip past the intro and just get right to the meat of the thing.
We have meat? When did that happen? All right. So that brings us to the actual topic du jour this week. And like we said last week, 2018 season is in the books. There are a couple haunts I know that were open this weekend, but by the time this goes live, even those should have been closed. So unless you have a year-round haunt, I suspect your 2018 season has done our service. And for us, it was a great season.
Yeah.
We posted record numbers. We had some great reviews, some really, really flattering reviews this year. A perfect safety record. No one was hurt, even in a minor way.
Nope.
And we only had one group we had to throw out of the haunt for being dicks.
Yeah.
Consider that a pretty good season, all in all.
Yeah. I haven't had to throw somebody out in a few years.
Yeah. You know, you can't stop assholery.
Yeah. Well, it's always funny because, you know, my mom asked, well, who threw them out?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this guy was swinging at people.
Yeah.
Like, well, I did.
What, they gonna swing on me?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him try that.
Yeah, she's like, you have no fear, do you? That's not what it comes
to. He was a kid, pretty much, wasn't he?
It was between 13 and 16.
I mean, yeah, he could do damage.
Yeah,
but
he was a pretty big kid.
Yeah, but I'm just...
looked like a football player.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, if he takes a swing on you, then he's got the double problem of getting thrown out and getting his ass kicked by a girl in a student costume.
Yeah, and being arrested.
And being arrested, yeah.
Yeah, if you assault me, then, you know.
Yeah. That's automatic jail, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yes, we had a very, very good season. But as we reach this time of the year, we've had a little breather. We're pulling all the security camera footage out of the cloud.
Right.
We're doing all that kind of stuff. We like to talk about the lessons we learned, because one of the things we try to do is year over year build upon our previous experiences.
Yes.
And that can be very difficult to do if you don't actively talk about it.
Right. And I mean, part of this comes from being in a business background where you work on projects with teams.
Yeah.
Or if you had team projects in school and had to talk about afterwards what went right and what went wrong and how to improve, this all comes from that.
How to improve a team project in school, don't be on a team project.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
I'd rather do the solo kill.
Yeah.
Oh, but anyways. But yeah, I mean, and this is kind of a tradition of ours. We have about 3/4 of our yard display safely tucked away.
Yeah.
We got a couple of big things that have to wait a minute for one reason or another. And we have one item that has to stay up because it actually be part of the Christmas display.
Right.
So I don't know how we're swinging that one.
We're moving it behind the gate until December.
Probably. But anyways, we do really like talking about what we learned. And there's two kinds of lessons.
Right.
This is something that's very important. Because everyone, when we always talk about what we learn, people always focus on the negative.
Yes.
They always say, oh, what did we do that went wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, yeah, that's important. And we are going to discuss a couple of those cases.
Right.
But it's equally important to discuss what you did that went really well.
Yeah.
If you don't discuss what went well, then yeah, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally this is just something we do between the two of us, and we have been doing it. That's how we compiled this list.
Right.
But this year, we're sharing it with you guys, so you can learn from our lessons, too. So, without any further ado, here's our lessons from the 2018 season, and we're going to start out with a negative.
Yeah.
Learning from a mistake. We need more goddamn signs.
No kidding.
It's really funny, because we've known for a long time we need more signs.
Yeah.
And so we sat down, we mapped out the signs we thought we needed, and we placed a pretty sizable Vistaprint order for these signs.
Yeah.
I think it was like $120 or some crap. It was not cheap.
Yeah. Well, for us, it's not cheap.
Well, you know, but you know what I mean.
We have a budget of zero, so.
Well, yeah, for signage. I mean, yeah, this was not an insignificant purchase of signs for us. we placed a big order and put them out, and there was still tons of confusion this year up front.
Yeah.
There was confusion about where to go, because on Halloween night in particular, we run a trick-or-treat line and a hot line.
Right.
There was confusion about where to go to get in each line, where the lines start. There was confusion about how and where to donate, even though we added new signs to the donation box.
And lights on and stuff.
Still confusion about that. It was just confusion everywhere on Halloween night. Now, we were saved by the grace of our absolutely wonderful front of house team.
Yeah.
They were amazing. The non-costumed people that ran the trick-or-treat, well, they were costumed, but not haunt, not haunt costumed, I should say. In the trick-or-treat area, did an amazing job keeping people out of the road. They did a great job pointing people where to go, how to get there, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
That went amazingly well. They saved our bacon this year. But yeah, basically, I think the lesson we learned this year is take the amount of signage you think you need and double it.
Yeah, and, you know, previously we had had a sign that pointed to Trick or Treat and Haunted House in previous years, but last year it broke. So we didn't have that this year. We tried to make it as clear as possible, but it obviously needs some improvement.
Yeah, but we also still have the deal of trying to point to the enter and the exit signs. Basically, we're probably looking at our $200 worth of signage.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking that we need a big, and I can probably make this, like a sign to go on top of the queue area that says Haunted House.
Yeah.
Like a giant one.
Yeah. I think that would not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
And even then, we're probably going to need to specify the entrance and the exit now, because now that we have the new queue area, the entrance is, even though that new queue area worked so well.
Yeah.
And it really did its job marvelously. The entrance on it, we added a doorway, a lighted doorway around it for Halloween night. That did help.
Yes.
But it's still not as clear as it could be.
Yeah, because you told me the problem from what we learned the first two nights, which was nobody knew where to go.
Yeah, nobody knew where to go.
Because previously it was this giant tent, and you go, okay, well, I go in towards the tent.
Yeah.
But now that it's a structure, people were not sure where to go.
Yeah. And that was an unexpected problem.
Yeah.
I thought we had made it more obvious.
Right.
You go to the giant fucking wooden thing with the skeletons and all the lights in it.
Yes, that's darker lit than the front yard, which was part of the problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's spookier from the outset.
Yeah. There's definitely room for improvement there with giving those clear directions.
Yeah.
And, you know, to make me not feel bad, we had similar things in any of the pro haunts we went to this year.
Yeah. Well, and this is the first year we've had the issue to this extent.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why that is.
I think a lot of it is the new queue area.
Yeah.
The new queue line, I think.
People weren't expecting to see it.
Yeah, even though we'd advertised it very heavily in the run-up and so forth. Yeah, I don't think a lot of the people that showed up, especially Halloween night, were checking our Facebook.
Right.
So yeah, we've got to find ways, and probably it's going to be just a signage thing to make this more clear.
Yeah.
And this has a related problem to it, which is we need to have betterly. Whew. Jonathan, you must be tired.
Mm-hmm.
Better defined lanes of travel. Because the entrance and the exit exist on the same path, basically.
Right.
The same, like, it's about a 12-foot wide path that it's narrowest.
Yeah.
And we have to make sure people waiting to go into the queue area or mingling outside do not stand in the exit path.
Yeah, because they will get run over.
and it always kind of blows. Here's the thing about that. It's like there's been a couple of times working front of house, working the admission there, I've caught myself getting out of pocket
and
getting too close to the exit aisle.
Yeah.
It's very important for me as an actor to not be there unless no one is in the haunt.
Yeah.
And the reason is, you can never really predict which group is going to bolt out of there.
Right.
And there are some groups that have bolted out of there, and it's a good 100 feet or so between the exit of the haunt, the actual door, and the area we're talking about where people were mingling a lot.
Right.
It's a good, you know, 7,500 feet or so.
Yeah.
It's not like a short little jog.
No.
And people are people are still going full steam.
Yeah.
And shoving people that were waiting and mingling. So we have to find a way to adjust that flow.
Yeah, we've already talked about it.
We've got some ideas.
Some ideas and and spoke with our front of house crew about it. They're the ones that brought it to our attention after the fact.
I don't get to see that problem much from where I'm standing because I'm literally right at the front door. And on Halloween night, where it was the worst, I couldn't see that problem. But our unicorns, as we've taken to calling them, because they all dressed up as unicorns. Yes. And our line actors noticed it.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the things, too, is make sure that you listen to what your actors and the people helping you are saying. Yeah. Because even though you might have this big overview of how everything works, when it comes down to it, you may miss something that somebody else with a different perspective has.
Yeah, the details are very, very important. Speaking of this, one of the positive lessons this year, our brand new photo op area worked flawlessly. It worked. It exceeded all expectations. It exceeded all hopes, I would even say.
Okay,
you see, we did a big front yard display every year.
Yep.
And it's quarantined off from the street and from where people are supposed to go by stake lights.
Yeah.
We've talked about putting up like a cemetery fence. Mm-hmm. We've talked about doing other things, but it doesn't really fit with the theme we have because we're doing a carnival theme.
And it breaks the line of sight to see things.
Especially for the little ones. And this is who the display is really for.
Right.
So we've always used stake lights as the demarcation of that area.
Yeah.
And every year, people go traipsing through the goddamn yard to take pictures. And it was really frustrating because the yard is not a safe place if you don't know where things are.
Right.
There's cords everywhere.
It's not a safe place if you do know where they are.
But I am willing to take the risk myself. I am not going to have anyone else take it.
Right.
But yeah, we have cords everywhere. We have like projection lights and stake lights everywhere. Our yard in places does not drain particularly well.
Right.
Especially this time of year where the grass gets a little high because it ain't been mowed in about a month. And the result of that is you have this wonderful combination of well-hidden cords, electricity, and water that can be quite a shocking experience in the fall. If you're not careful. And we're kind of used to it because we at least understand the general idea of where things are.
Mm.
But someone that didn't set it up has no idea.
Well, and the other thing is whenever we're traipsing through it, it's usually during the day.
Yeah.
Where we can see all of the cords and the water.
Yeah. But still, every year people would go through at least a dozen times on Halloween night.
Yeah.
Our front of house crew would have to tell people, please don't go into the yard.
Right.
But we actually took some time last year to understand why people were doing it.
Yeah.
Because previously it was just, you see them doing it, yell them to stop, they leave. And we realized everyone was taking photos.
Yeah.
They were trying to get up close to something. They were trying to take a selfie with a skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to do all this stuff. And it's like, okay, what if we created a photo op area?
Yeah.
What we did, and this was Crystal's idea, even for initial explanation of it, kind of sucked.
Well, yeah, because I can see things very clearly in my head, but putting them to words where other people can understand doesn't always work out.
But basically, in the center of the yard, we had an area that was about 10 feet deep and about 8 feet across.
Yeah.
That it kind of, like a peninsula into the yard.
Yes.
And right at the back of it was our big prop, and on either side of it was a bunch of the skeletons with an easy selfie range.
Right.
And the idea was, hey, don't go walking through our yard like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
We made you this nice, safe, well-mowed, well-maintained area that you can do your photos in.
Yes. It even says photo op area.
And that's one of the signs we made. It was two signs that said photo op area. And it worked beautifully. Hundreds of photos were taken in there. And zero people went walking through the yard.
Yeah.
Zero people. We went from this, like I said, being a dozen or so times per night someone would do it, to being zero.
Yeah.
Absolute zero. Did not happen this season.
Mm-hmm.
The other adjustment we made, and once again, your idea, even once again, the explanation was not particularly on point when you first came up with the idea. Your ideas tend to be very good. Your explanations of them tend to be less good.
That's why you've learned to just, like, trust me.
I usually don't have a choice.
Well, that's just true, too.
But, like, the idea was we took pool noodles because, of course, And we created this very colorful solid board. You drive the stakes of the steak lights through the pool noodles and then right. stake that to the ground. It only gives, like, the solid border is only, like, 2 inches off the ground tops.
Yeah.
It's right above the grass.
Yeah.
But it does create a very solid demarcation that the steak lights did not do. And I think that helped as well. But realistically, judging from how many people took advantage of the photo op area,
yeah.
even if just a couple, even if just, like, 5% of them
mm-hmm.
had decided it'd be worth traipsing through the yard anyway...
No.
Then we would have had about the same numbers.
Yeah.
I think the photo op area not only increased the number of photos taken, people that were sharing our stuff on social media and so forth, but it made it so that absolutely no one went into the yard.
Yeah. And it was amazing hearing about how people cooperated with each other to you know, take their group into the area yeah. and make their own lines.
Yeah, they we didn't have anyone, we didn't staff this.
No.
We didn't really understand how heavily it was going to be used. We just thought it'd be like the occasional person might come up and take a photo.
Right.
So we didn't put any staff out there. And there was a line that was often as long as the trick-or-treat area to use the photo op area.
Yeah.
So this is going to have to be a staple of our haunt from now on. This is
yeah, we may have to figure out ways to make it even better.
Yeah, we're going to have to think of ways to improve it. But the idea is super solid. And like I said, it was a problem that went from being a mammoth headache, especially on Halloween night, to nothing.
Yeah.
And like you said, the orderly queue that the people formed,
mm-hmm.
I'm just blown away.
Yeah. Well, you said that our guests this year were also doing something similar in the queue line, which was they were getting people together from multiple groups.
Yeah.
And being very helpful.
Yeah, we had some very helpful customers this year because we can take groups of four. And so if like two groups of two happened to be next to each other in line, they would just agree to go as a four.
Yeah.
Because we were running a long line and they were doing what they could to help us.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were cranking them through. We were past max capacity again. The fact that we were past max throughput tells me I need to rethink our throughput calculations.
Yeah.
I might need to look at the security cam footage and really time the throughput better.
Yeah.
Because every year I time it based upon the first groups.
Right.
And I think as we get cranking through the season, especially through the night,
yeah.
I think we speed up.
Yeah, Halloween's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah.
The other two nights, if we're not running a line, I don't tell the actors to keep people moving.
Yeah.
We get to play with them a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, they get to stay. We get to you know,
yeah.
keep them a little bit longer. But Halloween night, we tell everybody, you
know. Keep them moving!
Exactly.
So, yeah, I've got to go back through the footage. And like I said, I've been downloading it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go back through the footage and really get our throughput numbers down, see what they actually are, what our potential is.
Yeah.
Because that...
So, if we have an extra camera next year...
Yeah.
We should put one on the fucking exit.
Yeah.
Point it at it.
Maybe we should do that with the one that was at the front of house.
I don't know, because I'd like to see the line, too. So.
Fair enough. Anyways, moving on to the next lesson.
Yeah.
Number 3, how to deal with crying children. Okay, this is a home haunt problem.
Yeah.
Hashtag home haunt problems, I get that.
Yeah.
We're a free haunt. One of the things about that is since nobody's paying for a ticket,
yeah.
Parents oftentimes try to push kids that are just not ready for a haunted house.
Right.
And here's the thing, it's not an age thing.
No.
I have seen, you know, 3- and 4-year-olds walk through that haunt totally stoic and brave-faced and come out the other side, punky-dory. And I've seen 12-year-old girls breaking down in the bullpen waiting to go in.
Yeah.
I've seen them both.
Yeah.
It's not an age thing. It's I don't know what it is. Okay, I don't even know how to phrase that. It's just a tolerance for haunted houses. There.
Yeah.
That's what that is. The tolerance ain't there for whatever reason. Hell, I've seen some adults breaking down in the queue line.
Well,
I'm singling out tweens. But, yeah, so we get this problem where crying kids come up. Now, we have that against our rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's against our rules. We don't want crying children in. No one's having fun. The actors feel bad. The kid's not having fun. It's not enjoyable for anyone.
Right. And this was something that we changed in our third year, I think. So we've been going for a long fucking
about
time.
About 10 years.
Yeah.
But that hasn't changed anything because parents still keep trying.
Right.
And the problem is this, is that we have tried literally everything to stop this. I've, as the person running the door, I've been firm with parents. I've said, no, she cannot come in, or he cannot come in. They cannot come in the haunt. I've offered to do the toned-down scare version we do for little ones. And I've even offered to have one of my line actors stay with the kid while the rest of the family goes to the haunt.
Right.
They can stay right here. And you three can go through.
Yeah.
And you'll only be in there about a minute, and when you come out the other side, you can pick them up and you go.
Yeah.
And we've even used, once trick-or-treating is done, some of the trick-or-treat team has volunteered for this.
Right.
Where they'll come up to the front of the queue line and take the little kid's hand and so forth, and it's been a big hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's worked. They've always insisted this bawling, horrified kid has to go in the haunt.
Yeah.
It's absolute abject cruelty, and frankly, a lot of the times, it feels like it borderline to actual child abuse.
Yeah, it's, parents are horrible.
Some parents are, but yeah. I found a solution.
Mm-hmm.
I found a good solution. So if you're in this situation dealing with this problem, I'll tell you what worked for us. Basically, I don't talk to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
I just gave up on that one. If the parents got the kid there and trying to drag their crying ass into the haunt, I've given up the ghost on the parent now.
Yeah.
I kneel down and I talk to the kid. And I go, are you okay? The kid says, yes, no. Do you want us to tone down the scares? I don't want to go in. When they say they don't want to go, I say, it's okay. You don't have to go in if you don't want to.
Yeah.
The kid stops crying.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Just an adult saying, you don't have to go in if you don't want to. Boom. Waterworks stop. And now the parent's in a bind.
Yeah.
Because the parent's going to continue to insist. Now they have to you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Re-aggravate this. And that seems to be the limit. Parents do not want to, you know, reactivate a crying kid.
Well, yeah. And kids want their agency.
Yeah.
That's the lesson here.
Yeah.
So kids know what they want and don't want
to
do.
And at that point, the parents will listen to solutions. They'll leave the kid with me. They'll leave the kid with someone else. They'll do whatever, right?
Yeah.
And that works. It's amazing how that changed the game.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we had any, really. There were a couple that started crying once they got in.
Yeah, but
even
that
was
less.
Yeah. Basically, though, if they were bawling when they were in what I call the bullpen, which is where they wait right before I open the door and send them in.
Right.
If they were in the bullpen crying, that's what I did.
Yeah.
And it was like I had discovered the magic formula. It was like I just threw some kind of weird spell or something. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And so I'm totally keeping that strategy next year.
Oh yeah.
That was beautiful, and it saved us so much heartache and so much trouble.
Yeah.
All right. Lesson number four this year. Gimmick everything.
Yep.
Now, for those who aren't familiar with the wrestling terminology, gimmick means to make something safe.
Yes.
Or so that at least it won't kill you.
Right.
You see wrestlers go through gimmicked tables that are set up to break under their particular weight.
Right.
For example. Now, historically, we've been very, very religious about gimmicking everything that the customers and actors should be touching.
Yes.
Any hard edges, any sharp corners especially,
right.
Anything that where the actor or customer should be. We have been gimmicking. That's something that's been an ongoing thing for years.
Oh, yeah. One year we used bubble wrap and bubble wrapped all of our wall edges.
Which was really funny because that was also the year we had that family that literally bounced their way through our haunt. And I watched the security camera footage after and I kept thinking they popped all our goddamn bubble wrap.
Yeah.
But no, these days we primarily use pool noodles for the gimmicking because we're usually doing edges and you can so easily just cut a slice in a pool noodle and put it over almost anything.
Right.
It's realistically, pool noodles are the magic material.
Yeah. A lot more than I had previously realized.
Yeah, and that's just that we've used pool noodles in previous years.
Right.
This was the first year we really went, I guess this is another lesson now.
Yeah.
This was the first year we really went all in on pool noodles.
Uh-huh.
And ended up buying like 100 of them.
Yeah.
At about like, some of them are 50 cents each and some of them are a quarter and some of them are like 10 cents each or something.
Yeah.
Because by the time you get to late September, early October, Walmart's desperate to get rid of pool noodles.
Yeah. Yes, you fixed our roof with a pool.
Yes, I did. But yeah, so, but we've always gimmicked things very carefully, but this year we realized we weren't going far enough.
Right.
In your area, there was a shelf that there was no, we thought there was no goddamn way an actor or a customer was going to be nowhere near it.
Right. And part of that is because the room wound up working differently than originally designed.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but just different.
Yeah.
Because originally, any extra people we had were not going to be in that room with me. It was just going to be me in the room and nobody in the floor area where the customers walk. But then we had extra people, so then I was in that room.
Yeah. And someone else operated the scare the last two nights.
Right.
And you had one group push you into that shelf. They got so scared that they pushed you.
Oh, it was more than one.
Oh, okay. Several groups.
Yeah. No, yeah. It happened the first night I was in the role as the student. And I realized that I'm going to have to brace myself.
Mm-hmm.
For groups like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, the new rule now is if it is a hard edge, it could be potentially dangerous.
Yeah.
We're gimmicking it. We're pool noodling it. We're doing something to gimmick it.
Yeah.
We're just going to decide that there's literally nothing out of bounds in the room in a space of a haunted house.
Yeah. And we're usually very good about that. It's just this one didn't do it. So.
Yeah, we didn't do it because there should have been no way it should have been impossible, almost physically impossible for someone to hit it.
Right, because you have to go about 8 feet from where you're supposed to be to get to it.
Yeah, really have to travel some distance.
Yeah.
And also, the scare is in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Is the other thing. The scare is going like a 90 degree angle to the direction. Yeah. And the shelf in question is off to your right. The scare is from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, no one should be going that way, and I'm still kind of blown away they did.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have a few actor related ones.
Mm hmm.
And I'm very, very pleased with these. These were mostly positive lessons here.
Yeah.
First off, ice chests for actors. This was something that was recommended to us.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably Japes, knowing the all probability. But I think we'd heard about it elsewhere, too. The idea of making sure that the rooms themselves are stocked with drinks.
Yeah.
Previously, we always had a central actor area to pick up drinks.
Right.
But it was always outside of the haunt.
Yeah.
Which meant that when actors needed drinks, someone had to get sent out on a drink run. And if we're running the line and cranking them through, either we have to hold up the line for a couple of minutes.
Right.
Or they just aren't going to be in their slot for a group or two.
Right. And this is something that came out of necessity from last year. It was a lesson from last year that we implemented this year and it worked great. But because last year was the first year that we had no breaks the entire time we were open Halloween night.
Yeah, we didn't have any breaks really at all any of the nights this year.
No. But, so we took that because nobody had time to go and get drinks and everybody was parched by the end of it.
Yeah.
So this year we put in ice chest.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, all this was to us was going to the local grocery store and picking up a bunch of those $3 coolers.
Yeah, styrofoam.
Styrofoam cheap crap coolers. I think we spent like $12 to $15 on this.
Yeah.
And basically you fill them with a few sodas that those actors or waters, whatever those actors enjoy, and put some ice in it and shove it in a place where customers can't see it.
That's important.
Yeah. And you're done.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I got to say, this was one of the things the actors really, really loved. And another thing we did was we had a couple of actors that could not really leave their particular area much.
Right.
We installed cup holders for one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at it for another, I think. We had talked about it for another. But yeah, we installed a cup holder that was, once again, hidden from customers. No one's going to see it, but it made his life so much better because once the group's left his room,
right,
he can grab a few sips of water or soda or whatever.
In between groups.
And that worked out really well for him.
Yeah, because this was the person, my brother, who was in the spilled guts prop that we talked about on the last episode.
Yeah.
So there was enough room to hide a cup holder in there, which is good because that's basically like a hot box from your chest down. There's nowhere moving through the mirrors.
Yeah. And that's one thing we may rejigger with that, is put a fan or something into the unit.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally plan on putting a fan in there for next time it's used. But because it wasn't told to me until after we had closed on Halloween night, I didn't know to
fix
it.
Yeah, we had a bunch of tiny fans we could have just thrown in there with a couple of screws.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well. Neither here nor there. Lesson for next year. Yeah. Put it on the list.
Yeah, well, and that's you know, one of the frustrations is that a lot of times people don't tell you things that they notice until after you're closed for season.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I could have fixed it. Just tell me.
Yeah. That would have been a couple of screws in about 10 minutes of time, probably.
No.
The hardest part would have been how we'd have to pull it out. But yeah. All in all, that trick managed to keep everyone very happy. Everyone stayed in place. And the actor quality remained consistent throughout Halloween night, even to the very, very end.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone was tired, but since no one was dying of thirst, everyone's voice was still intact. Everyone
right.
was screaming and growling appropriately.
Yeah.
It was good. Mm-hmm. It worked out well. Okay, lesson number 6 for today. The importance of a proper actor area.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked a lot about how we replaced our cue line this year.
Yes.
Our old cue line, which was realistically just a carport, mm-hmm. a carport tent, we moved into the backyard and turned it into an actor area.
Yeah, because previously we had chairs set up in the backyard, but if it was raining or if it was cold or anything was going on.
And it was also more difficult to light and...
And it was... Our backyard fills up with junk really fast when we're trying to clean out last minute. And we just throw stuff back there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a comfortable place for actors to be.
They could be there. The smokers in particular hung out there.
Right.
But, yeah, it was not... Most of them were in the house or scattered elsewhere.
Right.
And that created two problems. A, they weren't in a central location where we could grab them.
Right.
And B... A lot of times they would be ahead of the queue line and be in front of house when they're supposed to be an in-house actor.
Right. So that and that was a problem with the younger...
The younger ones in particular.
Younger ones in particular.
No one left that actor area. No one went farther
nope.
out from it. Everyone stayed perfectly in place.
That's because we had extra drinks out there and we had the food out there.
And we had comfortable seating and we had a little smoking area off to the side of it. Basically, there was no reason for anyone to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
And the best part was it kept the house open.
Yes.
Because... Previously, we'd have a problem, especially in the minutes right before opening, where all the actors are there, everyone's made actor call, and the inside of our relatively modest home, Chateau de Hall Weekly,
mm-hmm.
Is over full.
Yeah. And nobody can get anywhere. Everybody's trying to...
Like, I'm trying to get my costume on, and I have to step over or pass 6 people.
Yeah.
So that prevented that.
Yeah.
People were only inside for makeup, and actually they were outside for makeup most of the time. We had mirrors out there too.
Yeah.
But they only came inside to use the bathroom, realistically.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we get an actual bathroom out there, I think we're good.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen.
No.
They can use the big boy bathroom inside. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, this made the whole evening run so much more smoothly.
Right.
Okay, lesson number 7 for us this year, another positive lesson. Give actors a little bit of time. We have a rough situation. We're only open 3 nights, 3 hours per night. We're a little bit overrun on Halloween usually, so I say 10 hours per season, typically.
Right, and because we're so involved in the build, we often don't have time to do actor runs or training, and I know, Japes, I hear you,
I also hear Therese yelling at us, too.
Yeah, but...
It's like a chorus of actor people shutting us down.
Yeah, I know. But, and I do realize that the acting and costuming and makeup are our weakest areas. They just are. They're getting better, but, anyway, back to the point.
We had a point?
Supposedly.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, so we do a few walkthroughs before we open, a few tiny walkthroughs, and we had one actor who was brand new, and I know this is unfair. This guy had never been in a haunted, acted in a haunted house before.
He's never even been to one.
Yeah, and so one of the natures of this is we oftentimes didn't put way too much emphasis on just dropping people in naked and having to get started with the ground.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's... When we have experienced haunt actors,
right,
that usually is okay.
Yeah. And this guy was so excited about it and loves Halloween so much that it never crossed my mind that he had never even been to a haunt.
Yeah.
We were 5 minutes from opening and he tells me, you know, you're popping my cherry. That was his words. What do you mean? He's like, well, I've never even been in a haunt. Now I'm acting in one. And I'm like, a little bit of panic.
Yeah, because we stuck him in probably the most public-facing role.
Yeah.
He's a very impressive-looking dude in terms of size and stature and how he carries himself.
Yeah.
And he was a natural physical fit for the role.
Right.
But, yeah.
And he was committed to all three nights, which is not something that a lot of our actors could do.
Yeah. So, basically, we did the first walkthrough, and we got to his section, and he was playing a doctor, and he had to hit a table with a rubber knife to do the startle in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out and he hits it the wrong side. And he hits it like flat.
No, he stabs it. He stabbed it the first time.
Oh, no, you don't hit it. Like, you know, we're sitting here instructing, 5 minutes before open, we're sitting here instructing a man how to hit a table with a rubber knife to make a noise.
Yes.
I'm not liking the odds here.
No.
I'm like, oh, no, no. We just hired a congressperson. But anyways, and then he has another thing where he has to do a breakaway wall in the same,
yeah,
where he goes into or bursts into a room further away. And he totally missed the cue there, both yeah times we tried it.
Yeah.
It was abject failure, and it's like, and I'm like, Crystal, maybe we should do a swap here. You know, we have roles that he can cut his teeth in a little easier,
right,
on, that require less coordination. He's like, no, he'll be fine, he'll be fine. And by the fourth group in or something like that, I check up on you. I'm like,
no.
You know, how's he doing? And he's like, he's doing great.
Yeah.
He's doing great. I'm like, are we talking about the same dude?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was. He was absolutely awesome.
Well, he won our actor award, as we call it.
We should not make this an award.
Because we encourage people. Okay, we have a joke prize we give every year at the end of season.
Started last year,
but I think it's now officially a tradition.
Yeah.
Because everyone seems to like it, so now it's a tradition.
Yeah.
We give the award to the most destructive actor.
Yeah, we totally should not make this a thing.
Last year we had a kid named Julius who broke one of our drop panels.
Yeah.
It was a very poorly designed drop panel. It wasn't anything he did. It was my fault. Okay. I'm the one that built a crappy drop panel.
Well, we were trying to do something new, and it wasn't just you. We both looked at the design.
Yeah. But still, I mean, it was not his fault. He was doing exactly... He's a strong kid. Real strong kid. Maybe that was the thing. We didn't calculate someone like him operating a drop...
Yeah.
He could actually really slam that down.
He is a football player.
Yeah, I operate a drop panel. It's like, you know, I let it go.
Pull it out and let gravity do
gravity
the work.
Gravity does the work, and I do the labor putting it back.
Yeah.
He's like yanking on, slamming it down.
Yeah.
And this is not a light drop panel.
No,
this was a very heavy model of drop panel.
Yeah.
So he was power, man. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But he was great. So we let him keep some pieces of the drop panel.
Yeah.
Our doctor this year, with a rubber knife, managed to completely destroy the tabletop.
Yes, half of it.
At least the half he was hitting, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we had built that tabletop years ago for a different sequence. We just kept redecorating it. And it was made out of particle board. I didn't realize the top was particle board.
Yeah.
Was that coated?
Yeah, it was coated in...
insulated?
It's one of those things that... It was an old desk. It was a piece of an old desk, and it was coming down to where we needed a table for the diner scene. So I'm like, hey, that's about the right size. Let's use it.
Yeah. And we literally built the frame to it.
Yes.
But yeah, he managed to literally beat the hell out of it to the point that like half of it was missing.
Yeah.
And so we let him keep the half, what remained of it. And for Halloween night, we had to rebuild the table urgently, and we did it with 2x4s this time.
Yes.
He did not get through those.
No.
But yeah, I got... God. Yeah, so anyways, but no, it's one of those situations where he picked it up quick, and if we had pulled the trigger when it looked uncertain, We would have missed out on some great acting. Some of the best acting we've seen.
Yeah, his ad-lib work was on par. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So.
And going through with later walkthroughs.
Yeah.
And watching both the video walkthrough and a couple others I did.
Right.
Yeah, he was sweet. He really nailed it. And I mean, he's already committed to next year.
Yeah.
The Mad Bastard. So I'm super happy to have him.
Yeah.
All right. Number 8. The counterpoint, and this is where we didn't do so good, moving actors is also important.
Yeah.
Because we did have a couple of actors that, while they're good actors and they work well in a haunt, they weren't suited to the roles they were in.
Right.
And we didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, and I take blame for that because, you know, inside it's my job to see the problems, and I don't think I... One actor in particular, I don't think I explained the role thoroughly enough so that they understood what they were supposed to be doing. They did fine with what they did.
Yeah.
But it wasn't working quite as well as it needed to.
Yeah. That really is what it comes down to, is you have to know when an issue with an actor in this particular role isn't just a temporary failing, like something they're going to learn and overcome,
right,
or they're simply never going to get it.
Yeah.
At least not that season.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is this, is we have a variety of roles. We have roles that are everything from, okay, if you see people, you bang on metal thing.
Yeah.
Then you're done.
Yeah.
We have roles like that, and then we have roles that require a lot of interactivity with the audience. We have everything in between, too.
Yeah.
So you can get your kicks a variety of different ways as an actor. If you just want to be someone that hits a heavy metal thing and scares people, we got that. If you just want to pop out from behind something, we got a little bit of that going on. But if you really want to talk with and play with people, got that too. And you've just got to find that flavor.
Right.
There are some people, like, I'm never going to be the guy who physically intimidates you in a haunt.
Yeah.
I'm 6 feet tall, but I don't look like I weigh anything. And my strength has always been, if I'm in a haunt, it's always been sneakiness. But truthfully, I'm much better at improvising and interacting.
Yeah.
If I have to be a scare actor, I'm going to be the sneaky guy that comes out of nowhere.
Right.
Because that's just what I do well. I move uncannily quiet, even in my day-to-day life. I have to wear boots to make it fair.
Yeah, I get people to stop and listen to me.
Yeah.
Which can be an asset.
Yeah, you've got to know what your strengths are and be willing to move actors into those positions.
Right. And I thought that this actor was going to do well in this area because he's done similar roles before. But we wound up switching him to a different place for Halloween 9. He did much better with that.
Yes, I agree. And the one we're ending on tonight is that we need a new rules banner. This is our last one. Our rules banner, I realize this, I think is 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, and we talked about rules in episode 133,
I
believe
it was. Yes. Did a long episode about that.
Mm-hmm.
And just after this season, we're looking at our rules banner going, Jesus. You know, we need to add and update things. And so here's a few of the these are mini lessons, if you will, that we're going to implement on the new rules banner. The rule to be added, a rule to be added is no pets.
Jesus fucking Christ.
No, I should not have to fucking say that.
I know.
Oh, who the fuck brings a dog to a haunted house?
Apparently multiple people.
I threw 2 people out of line who tried to carry their dog in, and apparently one got snuck in anyway.
Yeah, that was the first night. He snuck him in his jacket.
Who does this?
Yeah.
A, haunted houses are no places for pets. They are loud. They are scary. And pets do not understand that these are not actual threats. You are actively terrifying your poor animal.
Yes. Same reason you can't carry your kid is why you can't carry your pet.
And the same reason, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
You might drop the dog. You know, we can ask, I think Pete Holmes did the bit about that. Ask him how that one goes.
Yes, if you haven't heard that bit, listen to it.
You need to listen
funny.
To it. It's hilarious. Pete Holmes, drop the dog bit. It's one of the funniest segments I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You might drop the dog. And if you don't drop the dog or you got it secured against you, someone might bump into you or crush the dog.
Right.
You know, you might end up with a little doggy guts going down your shirt or something. It could be absolutely horrible. Lost Crystal. Yeah. But yeah, I just cannot believe I'm going to have to put this on a fucking rules banner.
No.
On the list of things I should not have to say, don't bring your dog to a haunted house should be pretty high up.
Yeah. And it will be pets, because I do know that previously, early on, we had someone that was a neighbor brought his pet snake.
No animals.
No.
No animals. There's no goddamn animals, please. All right. We're going to modify a rule. We said no young children originally, and we did that for a very specific reason. We didn't set a hard age limit because we wanted to have leeway in determining who we should put a stop to. And because it really isn't an age thing. If they can walk and if they're not bawling their eyes out before they go in, they probably are going to be okay. And I don't really care. I mean, look, I'm a dude pushing 40, wearing a rubber mask, who has a haunted house in his garage. Do you want parenting advice from me? Think about this.
Yeah.
I'll tell your kids to drink an espresso and eat 3 candy bars before they go to bed.
No.
You don't want parenting advice from me.
No.
No. So, no. But we realized that what we're really focusing on are no carry children and no crying children. So we're going to say those things expressly, rather than having an arbitrary rule. It doesn't need to be arbitrary anymore.
Right. And, you know, I cannot tell you the number of times I heard parents with kids, you know, arms upstretched to them coming through the haunt this year that were like, no, remember the man outside said, I can't carry you. Come on, let's go. So it did work.
Yeah,
it did. Your instruction did work, but putting it in writing would be good.
Yeah, and making it more clear. Mm-hmm. Next, we want to further emphasize no videotaping / social media inside the haunt.
No.
And we're actually going to not just do this on the... We already say no videotaping. It's already on there, but it's A, way low down.
Yeah.
And it should probably be like rule 2 behind no running.
Right.
It's way low down.
And no running's a rule?
It's literally the most broken rule in haunted attraction. We've been over this. It's literally the most broken rule.
I know. It's more for our protection than theirs.
Exactly. But no videotape. We need to move this up. I don't know what it was this year.
Mm.
We have never had a major problem people trying to videotape our haunt.
No.
This year, it seemed like at least a dozen groups either asked for permission or tried to videotape it.
Right. There were 3 phones on inside the haunt. One woman was videotaping, but I looked at her phone as she was going through. All she was getting was the floor and like blurs. So basically it was an audio recording.
Yeah, I would tell people not to do it. And most of them stopped, but apparently a couple people started up again. It's just annoying as hell. But yeah, so we're going to emphasize that. In fact, we're going to make new signs, going back to the need for more signs, that say no phones past this point. In fact, what I'm probably going to do, now that I think about it, is just make the rule, put your goddamn phones in your goddamn pocket. I might word it more tactfully for the sign.
Well, yeah.
And the reason for that isn't just the no videotaping, no social media stuff.
Right.
That's a very good reason. But also because I don't want to be responsible for breaking your phone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad enough when people's glasses fall off, because it does occasionally happen. It happened once this time.
We gained so many kitty ears.
Yeah.
This year. Because that's the thing. We had like little things hanging down in certain places. And if you're wearing kitty ears, I just started telling people come Halloween night, if you have anything, a hat or anything on your head, please take it off or you might lose it.
Yeah.
It's just so that I don't have to stop the line and go back and get your blank.
Yeah. Yeah, we also need to have a place for buckets for trick-or-treaters to leave their stuff.
Yeah, we need to
Because we had a couple come through, and I was certain they were going to lose their pumpkins.
To be fair, I think that means we get their candy.
Yeah, we've got enough candy.
Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to find ways to clarify that. I don't know why that suddenly became a problem this year of all years, but it did.
Right.
And that is the new traipsing through the yard problem that we have to deal with.
Yeah, there was that one guy that came up and asked if he could Instagram going through and then just left that you told me about.
Yeah, well, it was three girls. It was 3 girls.
Oh, okay.
It was 3 girls. I remember it was the first night. They were all in schoolgirl outfits. which in New Orleans is very confusing because they could just be school uniforms. We actually have lots of Catholic schools. I have no idea if these were costumes or if they were just, you know,
coming from
some
school. Yeah,
I really don't know. But they're wearing that, and I'm like, and they came up and said, "Can we videotape them?" I'm sorry, no. You know, it's opening night.
Yeah.
You know, I care a little bit less on Halloween night because you're not going to get any attention before we close.
Right.
In fact, we're going to be posting a 360 walkthrough ourselves in a few days.
Yeah.
I've got to still do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. So yeah, we got to make that more clear. But yeah, they just turned around and went right off and went, well, screw you too.
Yeah.
Okay, and the last one is we have to modify or clarify our surrender rule. One of the rules we have, because we do deal with a very wide mixture, wide audience in terms of determination, how comfortable they are with haunts, is if you get too scared and you can't move, you can't progress, you're at that breaking point, you can yell the word surrender is the code word.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, everyone drops character and lets you out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny because they will, in my experience, they will do it in one of two places. One is at the very entrance when they go in, and one is at the very exit. And I'm just sitting there thinking, the people in the entrance, why'd you even go in?
I know. I don't know. I was not trying to be scary.
Why are you going in? And people at the exit are like, well, there's you're done.
Right.
Okay, fine, bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Go that way.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few people that surrendered at the doctor's office. So
yeah,
second
room, yeah.
But yeah, the people who would come in and take a look at me, and I'm sitting there acting like a distressed person because I am the distraction.
Yeah.
I am not the subtle scare. I'm not the hard scare. I'm just the distraction. I'm trying not to be scary. And they would take a look at me and...
Nope out.
No. They would just run. Like, I don't even have zombie makeup on.
Hey, you look just like a student.
Yeah.
Hello, fellow children.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, there's no way I actually look like a student, but, you know.
You know, in low light, who knows? But anyways, we need to make it clear that if someone surrenders, the whole group has to go.
Yeah.
Because we don't have, if they do surrender somewhere in the middle of the haunt, we don't have the manpower to get one person out.
Yeah.
While the rest of the group moves forward. So we always had the rule that the whole group has to leave.
Right.
That, and oftentimes it's very difficult, if not impossible, to tell who did it.
Yeah.
So, and they won't always own up after they realize we were serious about letting them leaving.
Right.
So yeah, we have that. We got to clarify that. That'll alleviate some tension and make it clear.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, all in all, it was a great year.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with the way 2018 went.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out if there's a way to gimmick the side of the house, because there was at least two groups that I saw run out of the entranceway when they saw me and run smack into the side of the house.
Oh, the corner there right by the AC and all that?
Yeah.
You mean the house? I'm sorry, it took me a minute to figure out what you were thinking
of. No, I mean the actual house. You know, the outside part.
The vinyl siding is fairly gimmicked, actually.
Okay.
It adds... there's no sharp edges, and it adds a decent amount of padding. I'm more worried about them breaking the vinyl siding when they do that than I am.
Right.
Because you can crack that. It would take some
effort.
I know,
there's a little hole in it already.
There's already one hole in it from a previous, that was our mistake. Actually, it wasn't either of us, it was one of our helpers.
Yeah, it was.
That's right, we're not naming
names.
They
haven't been with us for a long time, there's
a
reason.
Yeah, that actually isn't the reason.
No.
But... amazingly enough, putting a hole in our house is not the reason.
No, it's drinking's the reason.
Oh, God. Well, anyways, all like I said, it was a good year. Very happy with the way it went. And we're already planning on and working on 2019.
Yes.
Some big changes are in the works. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Now, we are leaving up everything that we have currently until after HauntCon.
Right.
So, if during HauntCon, if you come down, you want to see what we do,
mm-hmm.
like I'll preface it the way I always do, we're not a big haunt. It's less than 600 square feet. It's five rooms. But if you want to come see it, we'd love to have you. We're going to have everything in place to show you. The only thing that won't be there are the spider webs.
Right.
Because fuck those things, they had to come down.
Yes, exactly.
But everything else will be there. And you can see how everything works and what we build. And then sometime after HauntCon, probably in February, while it's still cool, We're going to get out there. We're going to do at least a partial tear down.
Yeah.
We have to tear down the outside pieces and rebuild that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to do a partial tear down inside, and we're working on a new layout.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anything else to add?
No.
Well, on that note, everyone, this has been Haunt Weekly, episode number 154, all about our 2018 lessons. You can find us at hauntweekly.com. We're at Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. We'll whisk you to the wonderful land of our YouTube channel. You may watch all, well, listen to all of our previous episodes there. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podomatic, Podbean, all the places that finer podcasts are distributed. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, episode 154. We will see you guys next time.